Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome in, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you for a very special edition of Golf Talk America. It's the end of the 2021-2022 PGA Tour wraparound season. The Tour Championship's over. We all know that Rory McIlroy won. Scottie Scheffler did not. But what we want to do for you for this show, just a closeout show, because next week we'll be, of course, right on top of it again with the new 2022-2023 wraparound season. Let's hear from Scottie Scheffler and let's hear from Rory McIlroy uninterrupted. Let you hear those two interviews. And then I'll be back just to close out this very brief, but an important addition to hear, an important addition of Golf Talk America, so that you get to hear what they said after their round. That would be Scottie and Rory at the Tour Championship live in the media center. So let's talk no more and let's start listening.
Are you ready to improve your golf game once and for all? A PXG club fitting will bring you greater distance, accuracy, and consistency from tee to green. At your personal club fitting, you'll meet with a PXG fitting specialist to discuss your skill level and goals while introducing you to the PXG product line. Next, your fitter will analyze your performance data with TrackMan golf simulators as you hit your own clubs, if you have them with you, and you should, and a selection of PXG clubs. PXG fitting specialists are highly trained golf equipment and fitting experts who work exclusively for PXG. Watch your performance skyrocket as you are expertly fitted for the right club heads, loft, lie, shafts, and grips to increase your distance and accuracy while lowering your score. Nothing compares with a PXG club fitting to improve your performance and level up your fun. Schedule your PXG club fitting now at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Folks, do it today. You'll be glad you did.
You said you didn't trust yourself early on. Do you know any reason?
No, I would say so. Like, on number one, I didn't trust that the ball was going to break as much as it was going to on the second putt. And then I had good putts on two and three. And then number four, I just wasn't trusting my read. I had missed the last one to the right, and I was wondering if my eyes were a little bit off, and I ended up pulling that one. And then number six, I kind of tried to force one in there by the pin where I really shouldn't have. I should have just played out to the right like I normally would, and for some reason I tried to force it in there. And so just little mental errors like that. But after number six, I locked in pretty good, and I just wasn't swinging it well. You know, like I said earlier, I had really good up and downs on seven, great birdie on eight, up and down on nine, good two-putt on 10, up and down on 11, 12, 13, and then hit some really good shots there towards the end, and good ones on 14 and 15, and then on 16, just barely pulled it off the tee, and I thought I could get to that fairway bunker and end up a little short, and then great recovery shot to get in the bunker. Not my best bunker shot, came out a little hotter than I thought it would, and then I hit a good putt, and it hopped off something a foot and a half off the club. I don't know what angle y'all had on the cameras, but if it was down the line, you would have seen it just hop off a little bit. And 17, I misread it, and 18, I hit a good drive. I tried to ride the wind with a 4-iron coming into the green, and I just pushed it a little bit. I still thought it would come back, and it ended up in that bunker, and then I hit the bunker shot exactly how I wanted to, and there was no sand in the bottom of that bunker. And ball skips up into the equator of the ball and goes over the green. It's just one of those deals. It's a tough break, but that's golf. You get good ones and bad ones, and you know, I put myself in position to win this tournament when I wasn't playing my best and today, and so I'm proud of how I fought.
Charlie, you've talked so much this year about being present. The 3 hours or so in between the end of the third round and the start of the fourth round, do you allow yourself to think about how momentous a title today would mean to you?
Not really. I actually sat around. I had lunch with Rory and John I sat there for like an hour and a half, it seemed like, and then Patrick was in there for a while, so we were kind of just chatting it up. We weren't really doing too much else other than that, not too much thinking.
Could you kind of contrast your Sunday experiences in Georgia this year? Scoreboard flip, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, final round of the Masters, I obviously played great. I got off to a bit of a slow start, but I was still like 200 through 7, maybe, something like that, and I was able to kind of cruise there. You know, I hit the ball really well. today, I just, for whatever reason, I couldn't get enough looks. Maybe those, if I could take a few shots back, I'd probably take back the drive on 16. I'd probably, that would be the one I'd like to have back. But outside of that, I really fought hard today. Rory just played a really good round of golf. He made some key putts there at the end, and you know, he definitely deserved to win.
Did you feel like you had the momentum after you finished up with that many birdies to finish up the third round? Did you feel like,
yeah, I definitely had good momentum. Then it was, you know, we had a long delay, and so it was kind of a good, you know, a restart, and then I just didn't get off to a good start early. But after that, I really kind of just, I grinded as hard as I could. For whatever reason, my swing just wasn't where it had been the first few days this week.
Difficult to lose, but for what Rory's done for the tour this summer.
Sorry, what was that?
I said it's difficult to lose, but given what Rory's done for the tour, I mean, happy for him.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, tip of the cap to Rory. He played a really good round of golf, and I mean, a really solid 4 days here. I don't know exactly where he started the week at, but I'm sure he's pretty close to winning the tournament individually as well. And so, tip of the cap to him. He played a great round of golf today, and you know, played good enough to win.
At any point during this week, do you allow yourself to think about money? Because it is so much more here than any other event.
Yeah, the money's great, obviously. Playing professional golf for a living is such a gift, and for me, I don't play golf for money. I play to win tournaments, and I play to have fun and do my best, and you know, see where the game can take me. And today, the money definitely didn't creep into my mind. I wanted to win the season-long title. I've had a really great year, and I wanted to finish it off with a win here. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's such a gift to be out here playing golf for money, and you know, I'm just so thankful to be out here.
Thanks,
y'all. All right. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. I know the summer heat's melting your ice cubes, wherever they may be, in your drink or whatever else they may be. But let me tell you what. I'm wearing Tommy John underwear, so I'm not as hot as I normally am when I'm playing golf or even hanging out at the beach or running or whatever, because the summer heat's melting everything in the world right now. You know, you can keep your tall boy on ice, and that's what Tommy John does for you, okay? Let me tell you, when you wear Tommy John, you're much cooler, so you can do everything better thanks to their breathable, lightweight fabric with four times the stretch of the competing brands. And they have dozens of comfort innovations. I mean, Tommy John will keep you looking and feeling good all season long, whether you're lounging at home or just involved in some summertime fun. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers, okay? I'm a fanatic. If you wear Tommy John, you'll be a fanatic too. They've got 17 million pairs that have been sold. People love the Tommy John's underwear and their loungewear, okay? I mean, I have all of their products, okay, folks? I like everything they have. You can start off slow and dive deeper into the product, but I will tell you right now, once you wear the first pair of Tommy John's, you're going to buy them over and over and over again. They make you feel cooler. And actually, you are. In fact, you're up to 7 degrees cooler than when you wear cotton, when you wear your Tommy John's Apollo underwear. Check out the Apollo underwear, and there's no risk, because you're covered with the Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. So here's what I want you to do, folks. I want you to shop TommyJohn.com/countdown right now for 20% off your first order. That's 20% off your first order. That's a good discount. Get 20% off right now at TommyJohns.com/countdown. TommyJohn.com/countdown. See site for details. And let me tell you, I'm cooler in my Tommy John.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome the now three-time FedEx Cup champion, Rory McIlroy, to the Media Center here at the Tour Championship. Rory, it's been a memorable day at East Lake Golf Club, to say the least. Just some of your opening comments on this day.
Yeah, you know, I got back out here today to finish my third round. You know, I had two holes left and finished those the exact way I wanted to, with two birdies, and thought I'd be, you know, maybe 3-4 going into the final day, and then he reels off four birdies in the last six holes, and I'm six behind. So honestly, I wasn't really giving myself much of a chance teeing off in the fourth round. I thought, you know, silver lining was I was playing in the last group, so I could at least keep an eye on what he was doing if things didn't quite work out for him. And you know, thankfully I was in that last group because, you know, I was able to put some pressure on him early on. And then, you know, that coupled with him not having his best stuff today, you know, it was actually a, you know, I felt like going into the back nine, not that it was mine to lose, but I had all the momentum and you know, going out today, I was like, if I can get it within three going into the back nine, I thought that would be, you know, a really good front nine holes. And, you know, I think we were tied for the lead on the, you know, on the 10th tee. So, yeah, incredible day, incredible week, you know, four over through two holes, 10 shots out of the lead at that point to claw my way back and end up winning the tournament. Incredible. Just a real, you know, really proud of my resilience and how I sort of handled that start and just sort of stuck my head down and kept going all week and took advantage of the opportunity that I was given today.
All right, we will go right into questions. If you could just raise your hand, we'll get a microphone over to you. Go to Cam over here first. Yep.
Rory, could you speak a little bit about the comment about Tom Kim overcoming his quad start? And also, wasn't resilience sort of the story of your season with the four top tens in the majors and no wins? I mean, wasn't this sort of a fitting way to win?
I thought so. I have to give Tom Kim a little bit of credit because, you know, he started with a quad at Greensboro and ended up winning a few weeks ago. And, you know, for whatever reason, that just sort of popped into my mind on Thursday. I've said all along this year, this season felt very, very similar to 2019. You know, I play great golf. You know, I had some good wins, but, you know, didn't pick off a major. But I felt like, you know, Harry said it to me on the 18th green today. He goes, you know, all the good golf you played this year, you know, this is, you deserve this. So, it's really cool to do something in golf that no one's ever done before. Obviously, the history of the FedEx Cup isn't as long as the history of some other tournaments, but, you know, to be walking out of here three times a champion, it's very, very satisfying and something that I'm incredibly proud of.
All right, let's go right here to Rex.
Rory, and I know you don't want to compare the three of them. They all mean something different, but given what this year has been like, just for you, not only competitively, but off the golf course, does it hold any special meaning being able to do it here?
I think so. Look, it's been a tumultuous time for the world of men's professional golf in particular. And I've been right in the middle of it. You know, I've picked a great time to go on the PGA Tour board. But yeah, I've been in the thick of things, and I guess every chance I get, I'm trying to defend what I feel is the best place to play elite professional golf in the world. And you know, it's in some way, you know, it's in some ways fitting that I was able to get this done today to, you know, sort of round off a year that has been very, very challenging and different. And but they're all sort of different. You know, it's been nice. You know, back in 2019, I took down the number one player in the world in Brooks Koepka. This year, I took down the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler. You know, so I know that my best stuff is good enough to win any tournament against anybody on any golf course. So, you know, that's something I can take away from today.
Okay. Just going to go right here to Doug.
And two things, Rory, and to kind of stay on that theme, and I know you've been asked this a ton, but is there any way that you could talk about if it's been some kind of a burden, even though it's coming out willingly? I mean, you get asked about it a lot. You're a four-time major champion, a former world number one, and people are looking at you as the guy who's the kind of the loudest voice. Does that wear on you after a while?
No, I don't think so, because if you believe in something, I think you have to speak up. And I believe very strongly about this. I really do. I hate what it's doing to the game of golf. I hate it. Like, I really do. I mean, like it's going to be hard for me to stomach going to Wentworth in a couple of weeks' time and seeing 18 of them there. Like that just doesn't sit right with me. So yeah, I feel strongly. I believe what I'm saying are the right things, and I think when you believe that what you're saying is the right things, you're happy to stick your neck out on the line.
Do you get any sense that those who also believe strongly almost defer to you?
Yeah, in a way, I guess. Yeah. Okay. I don't mind that, though.
And apologies for dumbing down this conversation, but I did want to ask you about that chip on 16, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
what were you hoping for, and what did you see when it was coming out?
Yeah, it came out a little hot and a little further left than... I wanted it to. It actually, with whatever way the green was, it was obviously very lucky to hit the pin, but I was certain that it was going to miss the hole on the left-hand side, but it just sort of, the green held it and it hit the pin, and obviously it ended up being closer than it would have, and but I took advantage of that little break with a good putt to make par there, and you know, that was the first time in the whole tournament that I had the outright lead. You know, nice, you know, on the 70th hole, it's a nice time to take a lead of a golf tournament. So, yeah, or the 52nd hole if you play somewhere else. Yeah, so all good.
Right here to Ryan.
Rory, Scotty said that a lot of the emotion afterward was not because of the amount of money at stake, but because of the prestige and just because of the title. Having now won this three times, can you relate to that sentiment at all?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think Scotty Scheffler is going to win the Player of the Year. There's no doubt about that, right? So, you know, it would have been fitting for him to end his breakout season with a FedEx Cup title. I think he deserves, you know, he deserves this maybe more than I deserve it. You know, he played an unbelievable season. You know, he didn't have his best stuff today, and I played well and took advantage of that. But Scotty will have plenty more chances to win FedEx Cups. So, hell of a player, hell of a competitor, even better person. Love his family. You know, it's hard. You don't really know what to say on the 18th green because he's had such a great year. And, but he'll be back, and he's a great player. And I told him this certainly isn't the last time that we're going to have these battles on the golf course.
Maybe than other years. And how will you switch off? How will you celebrate and just totally get away from the game of golf?
Yeah, I have a whopping 1 week off coming up, and then I go to Europe for 3 out of 4 weeks, playing quite a bit over there. So, but you know, maybe that's a little less intense than what we've just been through the last 3 weeks in the playoffs here. But I've got a little bit of downtime, you know, sort of November, December, and I'm looking forward to that. But again, I think when you win and when you do things, it energizes you more than anything else. It makes you want to do it more, you know. So, look, it's been a long few weeks, and I'm looking forward to, you know, just chilling for a few days. But it gets you excited to get out there and play again because you're playing well, and you want to have this feeling more often.
Do you think golf is a little more stable next year, and that you can maybe get back to just focusing on tournaments?
Yeah, that would be lovely. And I think it probably will. I think after today, I'm not sure what I've, you know, been out on the golf course, and I don't really know what's been going on. But I think as well, like, I just need to, you know, as much as I'm a willing participant in all of this, you know, I sometimes do need to remove myself for the sake of my golf game. And I tried to do that. You know, we had a board call on Tuesday morning here, and then had all the announcements up here on Wednesday. And then once that was over and done with, I was like, I just need to focus on playing good golf this week. So
It's just trying to find that balance, and you know, I was able to find it this week.
Okay, great.
You mentioned obviously a lot going on outside of the tour, obviously, and then coming into this final round, being down 7 strokes. What do you use to focus to lock in to make the kind of run that you did today?
Yeah. Again, as I said at the start, I didn't really give myself much of a chance going out in the final round there. You know, my focus was to try to get within 3 of Scotty going into the back nine. That sort of happened pretty quickly. And then, you know, I had a terrible shot into the first hole and made bogey, but didn't lose any ground because, you know, Scotty 3-putted that first. So, you know, it was sort of a slow start for both of us, but then I sort of kicked it into gear and made some nice birdies after that. And, yeah, you know, as I said, I think, you know, once I got to the back nine and we were tied, you know, then it's a different mindset. You have to reframe. You have to, you know, you have to think about things a little differently. And, you know, I played a good back nine. I didn't play a great back nine, but I held a couple of really crucial putts at the right time, especially that long one across the 15th green. And then getting that little stroke of luck on 16. And those are the sort of things that you need to happen to win golf tournaments, especially when you're starting the day 6 shots back.
Okay, Bob.
Rory, how did you avoid or did you have any kind of a hangover after the Open, and how do you pick yourself back up from that really in pretty short time, you know, to try to have to focus on this again after that?
Yeah, so I took 2 weeks off from golf. After that, we went down to... myself, Erica, and Poppy, we went down to London for 2 weeks, spent 2 weeks in London after the Open, around the London area. And I just sort of got away from it. There's nothing really you can do. I mean, you find yourself sitting there and thinking about it or thinking back on things. But I guess at that point, I started to get pretty involved with some of the plans that like Tiger and I were coming up with, so I was able to jump into something else that sort of took my mind off it as well. It was nice to have the family time, but it was also nice to stay busy and keep my mind active with other things as well.
Okay, Steve, go ahead over on the left.
Yeah, Roy, a couple quick questions. First, I think Scotty said the two of you had lunch together before going out. What do you discuss before you go out and play for $18 million?
We talked about the restaurants in Dubai. We were talking, Colin Morikawa and I were talking sort of about our schedules going forward, and Scotty sat down and we were just talking about, like, you know, Dubai at the end of the year and sort of just trying to describe the place to Scotty in a way. Trying to think what else we talked about. I don't know. I mean, anything but the golf and the money and the, I mean, we were just... Right. Sitting there having a conversation, and yeah, we've seen a lot of each other this week. I mean, the physios we use are set up in the same room in the clubhouse, so you know we see each other in the getting treatment and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's one of the cool things about the game. You can sit down with a competitor before you go out to play and have a bite to eat and have a chat, and it's, you know. It's fine. It's actually quite refreshing.
And if you stop to think about the 2 Sundays you've had in Georgia this year, and the way you flipped the score, yeah, top of the scoreboard, how would you contrast the experiences? And
I think similarly happy leaving both venues. You know, I obviously didn't get the win at Augusta, but I played a great final round, and you know, as I said, it was one of the only Sunday evenings, you know, driving back from Augusta National where I've had a smile on my face. I've driven away from Eastleigh quite a few times with a smile on my face. So, yeah, in a way, sort of similar, but, you know, I said to Scotty, we're 1-1 in Georgia. You know, he got the one in April, and I got this one, and you know, we'll do it all over again in a few months' time.
All right, Adam, right here.
Rory, at what point today did you sense that this wasn't going to be a good, that Scotty was off his game?
Probably the three putt on one. I thought, you know, that was, you know, he left the first putt 6 feet short. You know, and then he missed the one. Yeah, I'd say that the putt on one, and then he hit a tee shot on four that just didn't seem like a Scottie Scheffler drive. And I guess those two sort of made me think that I probably had a chance after that.
And you've won from ahead, you've won from behind, but why do you think you thrive so well as the chaser?
Because I think probably out of everyone in the field, I care the least about the money. I'm probably it.
Brennan, go ahead.
Yeah. Rory, you know, you go back a few days ago, you're up here and you're part of a big presentation and you're being asked all these outside questions that have nothing to do about your game, and then you play and you go into today and it's, you know, you said you don't feel like you have a chance, and then a few hours later you're on 18 green. I think to anyone here that seems like it would be a crazy whirlwind. To you, is that I don't know, how do you describe kind of those 5 days?
So yeah, in a way, it's my life. I don't really know any different. Yeah, in all honesty, golf has been the escape for me over the last few weeks. It's been, I get inside the ropes, no one can get to me, and it's my escape from this other stuff that's going on. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm able to switch on and off pretty well, and I can compartmentalize things, and you know, whatever we're talking about with Scotty before we go out to play, I can leave it there and go and just try to focus on the task at hand. So I've had to learn that the hard way over the years too. But I've had a lot of experience, and this is my 15th year on tour. So I have a lot of good experiences, bad experiences, things to learn from. And I think just all of that combined helps me sort of navigate where we are right now.
And in a game that's so hyper-individualistic, what's a summer been like when everyone's kind of in everyone else's business and wondering what you're doing, and it almost got tribal, if that's the right word?
Yeah, I think it has got a little tribal. I certainly have that feeling at times. Yeah, it's been different. It's been, but in a way, there's been a great thing that's happened, and that's that the 20 whatever of us that met in that room in Delaware all committed, most of us, maybe 22 out of the 23, committed to each other, and committed to, guys, what can we do to make the tour the best possible product, so that we can all benefit. And I think that was a huge turning point in all of this. And I think all of us getting on the same page, you know, that, you know, look, there's opportunity in every challenge. And that was an opportunity for us to all get together. And as you said, it is so individual. It is so individualized. But how can we all sort of work together to move the thing forward?
All right, guys, we have time for a few more. We'll go Doug, and then up front here.
Rory, for someone who's accomplished what you have in golf, what's more valuable to you, the $18 million or having won that?
Having won, I think, I mean, there's a lot of cool things that come along with winning the FedEx Cup, the trophy. I have 3 sterling silver Calamity Jane replicas in my house, which is really cool. I mean, to think about here at East Lake and Bobby Jones, the greatest amateur player ever to play the game, the sort of history and the traditions of the game of golf. You know, he sort of exemplified all of that. So, look,
the money is the money. It's great, and it, you know, we are professional golfers. We play golf for a living. We play, you know, that is a part of it. But I think at this part of, and this point in my career, the winning and the journey and the emotions and who I do it with mean more than the check.
And secondly, as it relates to Scotty, can you think back to 14 when you had a pretty decent year and came in as the top seed and had player of the year and didn't win the FedEx Cup? Did it feel like as big a letdown, and how soon did it take you to realize that you had a claret jug and a Wanamaker trophy and all that good stuff?
Yeah. It's harder at the time. I think with the luxury of hindsight, and you know, I came in here number one seed in 2012, didn't win. Came in here number one seed in 2014, didn't win. But the more times, like Jack Nicklaus won 18 major championships, but he's had 37 seconds and thirds. So the more times you just put yourself in the position, the law of averages suggests that you're going to get it done at some point. And that's sort of what I've done in this tournament. I've just put myself in position each and every year, and you know, whenever you know you'll take your opportunity. Some years you won't, but if you just keep putting yourself there, you're bound to end up with a few of them.
I'm just gonna go up front right here.
Rory, that you had that great moment with Poppy at the PGA Championship where you told her, hey, that's when Daddy was good, and then since then you've won twice and obviously a lot of other things this season. Do you think you can look at her and be like, hey, I think Daddy's good again?
Yeah, I think Daddy was still good at that point, but maybe a little better now than he was a few months ago. But I want my daughter to see me play well and win golf tournaments, and I want to be the best version of myself in front of her. And, you know, there's a part of that that's, you know, being a father and being a husband, but it's also, you know, being a golfer is a huge part of my life. So I want her to be proud of who I am as a golfer too. So, you know, look, there was truth in that statement, but she's probably just went to bed now, so I'll see her in the morning. But it's cool to be able to do these things and celebrate it with them and you know, and make it known that they're part of the journey and they're so valuable to all of this as well.
All right, last one with Flo here in the way back there, Rory.
Rory, remember the last time you won that trophy in 2019? You weren't able to celebrate that properly because you needed to hop on a plane going to Switzerland in order to play the tournament there. You were just talking about celebration. Can you share some thoughts how you want to celebrate this third trophy tonight? Maybe you double it because you couldn't do it last time properly?
Maybe tomorrow when we get home. We'll stay here tonight in Atlanta. It'll probably be a quiet night, but I had a conversation with Shane Lowry yesterday, and it's Poppy's birthday on Wednesday, and his kids are going to come round our house for Poppy's birthday. And he said, I'll see you next week and we can celebrate with the FedEx Cup. And I was like, yeah, whatever. It was 8 back at the time. I was like, yeah, I'll just see you next week. And then, lo and behold, so we might find a few really nice bottles of red wine tomorrow night in my wine cellar and open them up and have a good time.
Shane definitely knows how to celebrate this. Remember,
he does. He'll lead me in the right direction.
All right, Rory, well, thank you for the time and congratulations again.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's Golf Talk America for the 2021-2022 season. I'm Frank Bassett. Tim Matthews will be back next week with us, and we'll be doing more Golf Talk America for 22-23. It's going to be a lot of fun, going to be a big season, a lot of stuff going on, a lot to talk about. But thanks for listening to Golf Talk America. We appreciate it very, very much. Please check out PGA Tour Countdown, one of our other shows on the Golf Talk America Network. For the entire crew at Golf Talk America Network, for Tim Matthews, I'm Frank Bassett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.